Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. This is John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Solid Rock Gospel broadcast this morning. It's hard to believe that it's already July, and it's certainly been hot enough for us here in Las Vegas already. We're looking forward to the 4th, which is this Wednesday night coming up. We're going to have our normal Wednesday night service from 7 to a little bit after 8, and then we're going to dismiss and just have a time of fellowship, and we'll have some finger food and snacks and some iced tea probably and some different things. Want to encourage you, if you'd like to come out and join us, we'd like to get to know you a little bit better. We try to do some fireworks just here in our parking lot, just some small fireworks and some things for the kids that they can enjoy, some things that make some noise and just have a good time just sharing that evening together for a little while. We are in Hebrews chapter 11, which is the faith chapter. And remember, we have talked about already that when the going gets tough, God's people are called to persevere. We're called to stick in there and remain faithful. We're not to throw away our confidence. We need to persevere so that when we've done the will of God, we'll receive what he has promised in Hebrews chapter 10. And he says, "For in just a little while he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." And then we've talked about how Paul here is going to give us just example after example after example of those who have already a testimony of faith, who have already been commended for their faith, holding on to what they had been promised and given. And you see, God didn't just reveal everything all at once. He gave it a little bit at a time over a period of about 1600 years, 1600 years. That the scriptures were written, and he's revealed his will a little bit at a time. Of course, ultimately, God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to us to die on the cross for us. And so we're not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Chapter 11, we talked about now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. All right, so that's not a full definition, but of course, faith is just that. It's being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. And then verse 2 says, this is what the ancients were commended for, or those who have already obtained a testimony of faith. They lived lives of faith already. Now, I think it's important for us to remember that Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So remember, we're not talking just about a blind leap in the dark kind of a faith, or, you know, just a hopeful, well, I sure hope this happens, or I hope I get lucky, or something like that. We're not talking about that kind of a faith. We're talking about a faith that is squarely centered on God's word. And when God says something, that settles it. We can choose to trust in it, to believe in it. Now, just because other people don't, doesn't mean what God said isn't true. So we have to make sure and know that what God said is true, and we hold on to those truths whether anybody else does or not. And that's what those ancients were commended for. Now, last week we talked about the fact that by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So again, God's word says, right at the beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so by faith, we accept that's how it happened. It didn't evolve from a bunch of, you know, protoplasm or plankton or amoeba or anything else. Okay, it hasn't been that went to this and that went to that and fish to amphibians and amphibians to this. That's the way worldly science looks at it. But God created everything full grown, ready to reproduce and go on. You know, you've heard that riddle, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, of course, the chicken came full grown, ready to reproduce, ready to lay eggs. And then the cycle has gone on from that. And so by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. God said it. God said, let there be light. There was light. God said, let the sun, moon, and stars be created. They were created. And so what was formed at God's command was formed not out of what was already there, what was already visible, but out of what wasn't. He called into being that which had not existed at that point. Remember, only God is eternal. Only God is an immortal being in and of himself as it is. And so matter hasn't always been around. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so by faith, we understand that, because we certainly weren't there to eyewitness it, were we? But we can see by what is around us now that design, or excuse me, the creation demands a designer. Okay, design demands an intelligent designer. This didn't just all happen accidentally. It was formed. It was designed by an intelligent God. And sometimes people say, well, how come so many of the different animals and different things look alike, or they have similar things? Well, they all came from the same creator, didn't they? And so by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. All right, let's go on to our next example here. And we're going to just read this, and then we're going to listen to our first song this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. Okay, so we're going all the way back almost to the very beginning. Not the beginning, we just talked about that. But here's an example of faith right from the very beginning of humanity that shows here is someone who lived by faith, being sure of what they hoped for and certain of what they don't see. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. All right, so let's listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Casting Crowns called If We Ever Needed You. And I want you to know, friends, that we need God. We need God's righteousness. We need God's holiness. We need God's power. We need God's mercy and compassion. We need God's strength to live above this world. Man, it's just crazy to think of what life would be without God. And so I want you to know that we all need God, and we need him desperately every day. We so need his grace. We need his forgiveness. We need his assurance that even in spite of this wicked world we live in and some of the bad choices that we make sometimes and the things that we give into in the flesh and the apathy sometimes we show toward this amazing God who loves us and gave his son Jesus for us, we certainly need him. And so Abel recognized that, and Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. So let's listen to If We Ever Needed You by Casting Crowns. We'll come back and look at this in a little bit more detail.
Hear our cry, Lord, we pray. Our faces down, our hands are raised. You called us out, we turned away. We've turned away. With shipwrecked faith, the idols rise. We do what is right in our own eyes. Our children now will pay.
We're back this morning, and let's go from Hebrews chapter 11 all the way back to Genesis chapter 4, and let's just read this account of Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4, of course, Adam and Eve had Cain first, it records for us, and then it tells us in verse 2 of Genesis 4 that later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now it says that Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you so angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. The Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. you will be a restless wanderer on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. So I want you to realize something here, that it doesn't give us a whole lot of things, but it tells us that Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. Now, there's nothing wrong with either one of those things, okay? But when it comes to offering a sacrifice to the Lord, okay, that's not up for men to determine how to do that, right? That's God's prerogative to tell men. Now, when you go back to Genesis chapter 3, and you look at where in verse 21, it says that the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Now remember, when Adam and Eve recognized that they were naked, what did they do? They took fig leaves and they kind of tied them together, or whatever they did with those leaves. And so they covered themselves as best they could with those fig leaves. They sewed them together, the Bible says, and they made coverings for themselves. But then in verse 21 of chapter 3, it says that the Lord made garments of skin. Well, where did those garments of skin come from? Okay, it doesn't say that the Lord just spoke those into existence. I believe here that what happened is that God caused two animals, or however many animals that needed to be put to death, to have to die so that their garments could be, or their skins could be used as coverings for Adam and Eve. And I think it's also at this time that God taught Adam and Eve about sacrifice and what it was all about, and how that through that sacrifice, which would be kind of a shadow, if you would, of Christ's ultimate sacrifice for all mankind, that God taught them how to offer a sacrifice of an animal to him for their sins, how to put it to death and how to offer it appropriately. And that's why in chapter 4, when Abel brought the firstlings of his flock and Cain brought the fruits of the soil, it says the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Now, people have speculated on this for, you know, lots of years. Was it just their attitude? Was it the amount? Did Cain not bring enough? Did Abel bring enough? Or was it because Abel brought an animal sacrifice and Cain just brought a vegetable offering? And you know, there's all kinds of speculation, but I want you to know that Hebrews says that it was by faith that Abel offered his sacrifice. So that means that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So God had given Adam and Eve some kind of understanding or word about the sacrifice, because otherwise Cain couldn't offer it by faith if there wasn't a word of God concerning the matter. And so I believe that Abel offered a sacrifice, and it says that the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. Now, there are several different times in the scripture, we won't go into all the details, but where the Lord took up the sacrifice in fire that fell from heaven. One example is when Elijah was on Mount Carmel with all the false prophets, and they had spent all day trying to get Baal to light their offering. And so finally, toward the end of the day, at the evening sacrifice, Elijah just stepped up and said, Lord, you know, call Israel back to you, bring them back to you. And fire fell from heaven and consumed the altar and the sacrifice and the water and everything else. Okay, so, and there was other times as well where the Lord took up the sacrifice in fire. And so it may very well have been right here that the Lord accepted Abel's offering and not Cain's. It was very clear that that Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's wasn't. And also, because of that, Cain was very angry. He knew that God didn't approve of or accept his offering. And so it says that he was very angry and his face was downcast. And so remember, when the Lord asked him these questions in Genesis 4 and verse 6, it wasn't that he didn't know the answer already. It was just he was trying to get Cain to fess up, to recognize what he's done. Why are you so angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now, instead of getting a hold of himself and humbling himself and repenting of what he had done and go and get an animal sacrifice, maybe he'd had to barter with his brother some vegetables for a lamb. Well, that would have been all right. But no matter what the cost, it would be worth it. If God says to offer an animal sacrifice, got to offer an animal sacrifice. Just like today, there's only one sacrifice that God accepts, and that's the sacrifice of his son Jesus. Okay, you can't bring enough money, you can't do enough good things, you can't be a part of some organization and think that it's all going to work out because of that. You got to do it the way God wants you to, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. It's by accepting the sacrifice that he made on the cross for you. It's about putting your faith and your trust in him. It's about being his disciple, being willing to die for him, if that's what it calls for, to suffer persecution for his name's sake, to be faithful even until death. Okay, that's the kind of faith that we're called to. Cain didn't listen to that, and he ended up and he killed his brother Abel. And so Abel's brother's blood, or excuse me, Cain's brother Abel's blood cried out from the ground, and the Lord recognized it, heard it. What Cain did was not just. It was wrong. It was wicked. And God was going to call him to account because of that. And so back in Hebrews 11 in verse 4, that's why it says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. In other words, he accepted Abel's offering, and he didn't accept Cain's offering. And so Abel was commended as righteous because he listened to God. He listened and he followed through. He put it into practice. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he's dead. Here's Abel all these centuries and centuries later, thousands and thousands of years, and yet he's still speaking to us. He's still presenting to us a message of faith. Hey, we're going to listen to our last song this morning. This is a song by Mercy Me called At the Top of My Lungs. The Top of My Lungs. Excuse me, that's Phillips Craig and Dean. At the Top of My Lungs. And I hope that you can call out to God at the top of your lungs because he's such a good Heavenly Father. Let's listen.
Save me, the one who gave me this life I live.
join the song of creation that rings out across every nation. Let my heart be heard. I need you so. I don't care who knows from the depths of my soul. At the top of my lungs, I will sing hallelujah. You're the one who saved me, the one who gave me this life I
Right, thanks so much for listening this morning, Las Vegas, and we're going to just continue through Hebrews chapter 11 and the faith chapter, and I hope that you will be a person of faith, just like Abel was as we looked at this first example. Abel was an example of faith, and we can still follow him today, not in exactly the same way, but in the ways that God tells us to live and walk and to live by faith. All right, we're the Church of Las Vegas. We'd love to have you come meet with us. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. That's 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Again, come on out and join us for the 4th of July this year. You can find us on the web at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. And until next week, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.